Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Okay, let's get some recommendations on what's coming up on TV and in the cinemas this week. And we're joined today by film critic for the Business Post, John Maguire, and entertainment journalist and broadcaster, Serena Bellissimo. Welcome, guys.
Hello. Brendan.
Serena, a big week for Paul Mescal. So Gladiator 2 had its premiere in Dublin on Thursday night. It's in cinemas next Friday. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us?
Well, it is a sequel to the original 2001. Paul Mescal is the standout. It's incredible when we can't say too much about it, but you go to the cinema and you see his name on screen and you go, oh my gosh, this is going to launch him to the next stratosphere of being a star. Basically, his home has been conquered by Roman emperors. He is brought over to the Colosseum and he has to basically fight for his home. Would you say that's enough?
I would, yeah. That's not bad, but that's also just a retread of the original film. That's what it's all about. The slave who became a gladiator, the gladiator who became a champion, the champion who toppled the emperor. Two emperors in this case. Mescal, again, there's a global review embargo, Brendan. So this message about this film has been very carefully managed because there's hundreds of millions on the table here and they don't want word of mouth to be poisoned unnecessarily. So we are very careful and we're not using any critical language. But at the same time, this is a massive gamble, not only for Ridley Scott, but for Mescal himself. This is his first, you know, global film. This is a real step up for him. But if you look 25 years ago, it was the same for Russell Crowe. And it was the same for Ridley Scott at the time. He was coming off a decade, the 90s, of absolute misfires 25 years ago. And he's in that position now where he's had three or four films that just didn't mm-hmm. connect in the way that he expected. So what you're hoping, I suppose, is that that scale of this film, and the scale is massive as it was 25 years ago, that will carry forward.
An event movie,
exactly, yeah. Brendan. Okay. But it was a smash hit, the highest grossing film of 2000. It won a rake of Oscars, including one for Russell Crowe. And, you know, you're hoping, but I've seen the film.
Gladiator 2, cinemas next Friday, yeah. And it's going to be a spectacular.
It is.
Serena, mm-hmm. Paddington in Peru is in cinemas, though. People really love the Paddington films. Will they be happy with this one?
They'll be very happy with this one. Paddington is just such a heartwarming film. I still have to say, and this isn't a diss, the second one is my favourite, but this one's really cute. He's off to Peru to visit his Aunt Lucy. The Brown family come with him so they can spend some time together. While they're there, they discover that, you know, Aunt Lucy isn't where she says she is. She's in the home for retired bears, which is run by Olivia Colman. She is amazing as Mother Superior. I'm not going to review it. I'm going to leave it to my 8-year-old son because he absolutely loved this. I'm going to channel him now, right?
Okay,
he said, I like it. There are a lot of twists. And when I say a lot, I mean a lot. There were some touching moments, lots of action. There's a great message. And it's just an amazing film. 5 stars.
Oh, my God. He's good pity. Man. We'll get him in here the next time. John, are you too highbrow for a bit of Paddington?
I am not. Far from it. I absolutely adore. I'd go further than Serena, actually, and say that Paddington 2 is the greatest film sequel ever made. You can keep your Dark Knights, you can keep your Star Wars.
Okay.
Everything combined in that film, it was absolutely magical. Now, here we are 7-odd years later. It's not quite the same. And my kids are bigger now. They're older, 7 years older. So it's not quite the same fuzzy, warm sentimentality. But the messaging in this film and the skill with which they bring it about and the fun, the sense of fun that Paddington has maintained. He's a nice character. He's sweet and he's wholesome and all. Yes, put that to one side. But at the we also need to be entertained. Yeah. Like, are you not entertained? Like the Gladiator would say. And this is pure entertainment, distilled tincture of entertainment.
I'd almost think you preferred it to Gladiator 2, but we will say nothing. Okay,
and the end credits. Stick around for the end credits.
The end credits are hilarious.
Yeah. Serena, briefly, the problem with people is out now in selected cinemas. Do I need to get ready to get outraged? Is there a paddywhackery alert here?
Not really, but it is written by Paul Reiser, who is American. He plays a long lost Irish cousin to Colm Meaney. They meet in Ireland to end a family feud. When he gets here, things don't go the way they want to. They are both insisting that there's no diddly d diddly I in this. But when something is written by an American, it is really hard to sort of just go, oh, you you know, you didn't get that right completely. There is a sense of romanticism around this about how they think Ireland really is. But having said that, what works in this film is Paul and Colm. They are lots of fun and I'll watch them do anything together.
Okay. John, just briefly again, more Irish interest this week is Bird with Barry Keoghan.
That's right.
Selected cinemas now. What do you make of
this? This is the British director Andrea Arnold, and she made a documentary a couple of years ago called Cow, and this is another animal themed drama, Bird. Barry Keoghan plays the father of a 12-year-old named Bailey, who's played by newcomer Nakia Adams. And they live in a crumbling squat in Kent. Barry is her father. He's got his own plans. He wants to get married again and bring those people into this little squat through making money from selling hallucinogenic toad extract.
Is this a comedy? No, it is not. It's far from a comedy.
What it is really, Brendan, is a combination of Andrea Arnold's usual social realist drama, very much kitchen sink kind of stuff, with elements of magic realism, I suppose. A kind of a fantasy element is introduced to it for the first time in the form of Franz Radzkowski, who's this superb German actor who plays this character who turns up and has who's definitely from somewhere else.
Does it all hang together?
12-year-old, the two of them combine and they go on an adventure. I suppose it's a coming-of-age story as well.
Okay.
Does it work? I don't know. It's very beautifully presented. All of her films so far have been... the cinematographer is a guy called Robbie Ryan. He's an extraordinary Irish cinematographer. But for me, it's the balance and the grind of marginalisation in these stories with the possibilities of imagination, and that kind of hybrid didn't quite work for me. But it's in cinemas, selected cinemas around the country.
Okay. Serena, again, we'll keep it quick now, a bit of streaming. Season 2 of Bad Sisters starts on Apple TV on Wednesday.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Irish, they're not having a moment. They're having an era right now.
Yeah.
Sharon Horgan has come back for season 2. I can't say too much. What I will say is the sisters are back. Everything's going really, really well until it's not, when secrets start rearing their ugly heads. I love this. There's 2 episodes that will drop on Wednesday. What I love even more is that on Christmas Day, the finale is. And when you think you know what's happening in this show, you don't. There's all these twists and turns.
I don't know how
Sharon's managed to do it again. Like, give us a sequel that's as good.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing, is that the first one was really about all these attempts to murder the John Paul character, played by Claes Bang. And now here we are a couple of years later, and it's really about how do you live with that? How do you live with what you've done? And how do you live with the fear of getting caught? And that's what the film, that's what this show is all about, and it's really superb. The cast is excellent.
There's a massive spoiler in some of the papers today, so we'll keep an eye out for that. Yeah. John, could you give us Wolf Hall and Silo season 2 in a nutshell? Because I know Wolf Hall is the more important piece of television, but I'm looking forward to Silo season 2 as I must say.
Apple do sci-fi like nobody else is at the moment in the world of streaming, and Silo 2, people would have been, after the cliffhanger conclusion of the first season, they're back. Rebecca Ferguson's here, heroine Juliet. She's left this community of 10,000 people living a mile underground. She's out in the real world, or what's left of the real world. And underground, people are discovering that the stories that they've been told, this history that's been going on for a period of time that we don't actually know, they don't have a timescale for it, all of that is nonsense. And they've been told lies upon lies as she's out there discovering.
Which makes it
the
sound
truth.
Very silly, but it's actually quite watchable.
Oh, no, it's so well done. I mean, they take it seriously, Brendan, and that's what keeps it serious. But for Wolf Hall, I don't know what I can tell you. We're years, nearly a decade after. Mark Rylance gave us Thomas Cromwell in Wolf Hall, based on Hilary Mantel's trilogy of books. Some of the best television the BBC ever produced. It's back. It's tonight at 9 o'clock on the BBC One. You have Thomas Cromwell facing the last couple of years of his life, as we know from the historical record. Anne Boleyn is dead. Henry VIII, who's played by Damian Lewis, is worried and frightened about his succession, about what's happening. Enemies without and within, and you have Cromwell in the centre of it, trying to keep everything together and trying to save his own neck. So this pure drama, it's directed again by Peter Kosminski, who directed the first season, and written again by Peter Strawn, who's just a superb screenwriter. He's the Conclave that's coming up in a couple of weeks. That's one of his screenplays as well. And most of the cast and the behind the camera creative team have returned as well. And the first season, even if it was a decade ago, is remembered as being one of the most involving and well-realised historical dramas of all time.
Okay.
And the second series promises the same.
Okay, so this is top quality
top
stuff.
Top quality
okay.
TV.
That's
yeah, your
Wolf Hall,
nights,
and it's
yeah.
called the Mirror, Wolf Hall, the Mirror and the Light, and that is on BBC One tonight at 9. Okay, John McGuire and Serena Bellissimo, thank you both so much. That's it for today.